All right, live from Lower BCC, this is Red Sea Radio. We're back again, another week talking about Fairfield sports on WVOF 88.5 FM. I'm your host, Kyle Majewitz, along with Jack Sarasulo. Jack, another week. How are we feeling?
1 week closer to basketball season. It's getting, like, very close.
Yeah,
like
officially less than 30 days. They just tweeted out the 30-day graphic.
November 8th is?
November 9th. I think it's the same day we register, so.
Oh, yeah.
7 a.m. register and 7 p.m. Fairfield basketball. Same day. But, yeah, we're going to talk about a lot of different things today as we edge closer to Fairfield basketball. One of the main focuses of our show will be to talk about the freshmen and get you guys acquainted with the three new freshmen we have on the team this year.
And get ourselves acquainted with them.
Yeah. Yeah, us too. So as we see some of the freshmen out there actually right now in Lower BCC.
Stare at their
Mido's out there. Makai Willis is out there. So
saw Wojcik earlier.
Yeah. So let's get into it. October 13th, 2021. First, we're going to talk off with Stags and the Pros updates. We don't have too much, but we got Matt Turner again.
Yeah,
can't
just
do a show without
a daily
talking
thing
about
at this
him.
Point.
So Matt was victorious last Thursday for the United States men's national team. 2-0 win over Jamaica, which was a very nice win for them. I think he only recorded one save, but that was really the only shot on goal. So clean sheet for him, his 8th clean sheet in 12 appearances, which is a very phenomenal record for the United States. But then, unfortunately, Sunday, he picked up 3 saves, but they lost 1-0 to Panama. A pretty disastrous loss for U.S. soccer. I think it came a year after they, or not a year, but it came on the same day that they didn't qualify for the World Cup. Poor performance, but it's not really on Turner because the team
we watched that game. Like, it didn't. You weren't like, oh, Turner like kind of screwed them. It was like more like it was bound to happen with how poorly they were defending.
Yeah, and just the team that the coach put out, Berhalter, was just a very poor team compared to the other teams that they've brought in the qualifiers. There's a lot of MLS players that don't usually play. I think Turner was one of the few guys that was like a regular guy in that lineup.
I mean, think
so
about how many like studs they have now. It's like you can get Pulisic, the guy for Juventus,
McKennie, Reyna,
yeah.
Adams.
None of the European level guys.
None of those guys were really playing. I think Adams got subbed in. And then, yeah, even like Pepe, he scored both goals on Thursday. He didn't play at all Sunday, or maybe he subbed in, but very weak lineup. Not really on Turner. Still had 3 saves. Only let in 1 goal. And he's still been playing well. So the USA actually plays tonight at 7 p.m. against Costa Rica.
Has the team sheet come out yet?
I do not believe it came out yet.
I'm guessing we're expecting.
It usually comes out around like an hour or two before the game. So I am expecting him to play, though.
Yeah, expecting Matt to play.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm expecting him to play. I think the game is tonight, USA Soccer. I think it's either tonight or tomorrow. It's today. So 7 p.m. against Costa Rica. Very important game for USA. If any of you want to tune in, it's on ESPN2, I think, tonight. Because when you look at the World Cup qualifying table, Mexico now leads us. They're in first with 11 points. We're in second with 8 points. Panama's in third with 8 points. And then, you know, Canada with 7, Costa Rica with 6. So pretty big implications
and
if they beat us. Or
top,
I think top 2 or 3 make it without having to play like
without a play-in.
So pretty big implications, especially if they beat us. They would, you know, overtake us, and we don't want that to happen. So big game tonight for Matt. Tune in, 7 p.m., ESPN2, USA versus Costa Rica. Moving on, we got Tyler Nelson. You know,
doing his thing in Germany.
I was really, really looking last night, really looking to find some stats on Tyler Nelson, and it's tough. It's tough to find stats with the Rostock Seawolves. I was even trying to read through German,
and some Jewel translating it.
Some of the words were similar, but they don't really have the stats like readily available. So
I think their Instagram is probably the close thing you're gonna get.
Yeah,
at least his Instagram stories that he posts, like he posts a lot of his own of their stories, like showing his highlights or his points or
yeah. Because I was looking, and obviously they played this weekend. They won 95-83, and I saw that I think three or four players scored in double figures. I assume one of them was Tyler, but we can't. I don't know. It's tough to get the stats. So he won this weekend. They play again this Sunday, the 17th. But we'll see if we can get the stats or not. It's a struggle, but we're trying for you guys. So that's the Stags and the Pros update. Moving on to just some general Stags comments from this past week. Last week, the men's soccer team, they fell Wednesday at Monmouth 3-2. I know they were tweeting out one of the nice goals scored by Jonathan Philippe from like the top corner of the box. Pretty nice goal. They actually went on to draw with Siena on Saturday 2-2. And they play tonight. They play Manhattan, which is statistically, you know, standings-wise, the worst team in the MAC. So a good opportunity for them to pick up a win tonight. 7 p.m. home at Lessing Field. And tonight is another Fairfield scarf giveaway for students. So if you're a student listening, come to Lessing to get a scarf. I'll probably be working. I'll probably be the one handing them out, honestly. So
Say hi.
But, yeah, I actually worked last Wednesday, scarf night, for Fairfield's women's soccer, who fell in extra time. The scarfs were really nice, actually. Got to take one home, thankfully. So it's a good promotion for anyone, students that want to come to the game tonight. Fairfield women's soccer also did win 3-0 this past Saturday on senior day. So shout out to the seniors. They play today at 3 p.m. in Manhattan. So in about an hour. And they are fourth in the MAC standings. So there's some implications with this game too, as Manhattan could kind of edge closer to them with a win. So hopefully they win today. Fairfield volleyball also plays today at 7 p.m. in Siena. So it's a very packed day for Fairfield sports. And then finally, field hockey also had their senior day this past weekend, so shout out to the seniors on field hockey. Crowded week for Fairfield sports. A lot of things going on. So and then I think this weekend is parents weekend, like pep rally and stuff. So I think they'll have like basketball coach and stuff there, and players, and I think there's maybe a men's soccer game for that parents weekend. So any parents coming to Fairfield, check out the Fairfield sports activities that they got going on. Finally, before we move into basketball, just plugging my own club. We got Stags in the Stands. First meeting tomorrow, October 14th, 6:30 p.m. in BCC Room 206. Free food and free long-sleeve Fairfield shirts for those in attendance. I'm the vice president of the club, so come through to the Stags in the Stands meeting if you are a student who wants to get involved in Fairfield sports. All right, we ran through that pretty quickly, and we're going to move on to Fairfield basketball now. We don't have an extremely long show today, but like you mentioned, less than 30 days now until the opener against Providence. We're probably 3 to 4 shows out of that opener. And this Tuesday, the MAC basketball preseason award show will be taking place. So that's at 7 p.m. on ESPN3. So anyone out there, make sure you tune into that, see what's who all the preseason awards go to, and I guess we'll react to that next week's show, unless we have an interview. So tune into the MAC preseason basketball award show. And two more things before we move into the freshmen. We're going to talk about some recruits. The Stags picked up 2 recruits this week. I know you want to talk about this a little bit. First recruit we got, though, is Michael Rogan, 6'7", 195 pounds, out of New York. I believe he's playing a reclass year in South Kent School in Connecticut, which is a boarding school, I believe. Watching some of his highlights, whatever I can find online, is, you know, he's a big player, obviously 6'7", but he has a guard mindset. I think even his Twitter bio is like big guard or something like that. So, I mean, he could shoot the outside shot when left open. Decent, you know, post and mid-range game as well. So, you know, overall pretty decent pickup. Obviously
there's definitely potential there with that.
Yeah,
body.
Potential there. More work to be done, but definitely potential there. We love a big guy who can shoot. Yeah. So that's the first recruit. The other recruit was Matt Curtis. So this one was kind of the one was a little interesting. I couldn't really find his social media or much about him online other than like
the tweet that
tweets from his AAU team. Or tweets that we found on Twitter. But basically, he had offers from Rutgers, Georgetown, Boston University, Bryant, and UMass. I believe Hartford as well. So some of those pretty big-name schools. So for us to get a recruit over them.
Georgetown has Patrick Ewing. So, I mean, it's like...
And a Jordan sponsorship.
Yeah, so if he's picking us over that, kind of a win.
Yeah, and Rutgers is like the... Rutgers is an exciting program to play for
right
now.
Even more so at this point, maybe.
They're like the new kids on the block, almost.
Especially in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
It's such a popular basketball conference.
Yeah, very exciting team to play for right now. So for us to get a recruit over them is pretty exciting. One of the quotes we saw on Twitter from his AAU coach is that he said, quote, "He's the best three-level scorer I've ever coached at the high school level, and he will be ready to compete right away." So hopefully that is true. I believe his AAU team is Team Spartan, a New England AAU-based team. So hopefully that's true. He's a 6'3 guard. Like I said, we were a little confused because I believe he just reclassed to 2023, but I think it was like
a
week ago.
The way the tweet was worded that we kind of noticed him on was like it was like he could either come in 2022 or reclass, like he had like the choice, and I was I guess he officially reclassed.
I believe he reclassed. I saw it on his AAU team's Twitter. I think him and another player reclassed to St. Thomas somewhere, something like that. But if I had to make a call, I would say he probably
will be coming in 2023,
will be a 2023 grad. So still a good pickup. I did find an article online about him, how he scored 35 points in a clash of unbeaten teams in Connecticut during his high school days. So it seemed like they said he can score from all over the place, which is kind of what his coach said. And, if he can translate that to college, I know it's a long way away, but that would be very, very good for us. So two new recruits. Not really much to think about right now, but just
it's fun to speculate.
Yeah.
Especially with so many seniors and grad students on the roster right now, it's kind of fun to see, the possible future.
Yeah, by the time he's there, Caleb will be gone.
Caleb, Taj, Cruz, Chef. You said Caleb.
Even,
Wojcik. It's going to be, a brand new team by 2023.
Yeah, it'll be, Chrysler and Mido and...
Yeah, I was going to say...
Those guys might... If they do a fifth year, but if not, they'll be gone too. So
Allen.
Yeah. So that's our little recruiting thing. But finally, we're going to move into the main portion of our show, talking about the freshmen. Obviously, if you listened to our show last week, we talked about, all the players on the team, our little profile of what we thought of them last year and what we'd like to see going into this year. So now we're going to talk about the three freshmen who obviously we've never had the chance to watch in Fairfield uniform before, but we did do our homework a little bit, and we'd like to give you guys a background on them going into the season. So we're starting off with Makai Willis, who we just saw out here
getting
this flu shot. But he's a 6'9", 235-pound forward for us, making him the largest player on our team, because weight-wise,
our
right?
Our biggest guys are
height and weight-wise.
Yeah.
Right, because he's got, 25 pounds on Mido. I'm not sure how much Supreme Cook weighs, but...
He's probably pretty close, but...
But still, Makai Willis being one of our biggest players on the team. So he comes from Florida State School in Tallahassee, Florida, where he averaged 9.1 points per game, 6.8 rebounds per game, and 1.3 blocks per game in his high school career. And during his final season, he averaged 10.3 per game, 7.7 per game. So his... As he progressed throughout his high school career, his numbers went up. So, watched tape on him, his huddle, different YouTube clips I could find. Here are my takeaways. First of all, he's very quick. I think that's the thing that jumped out to me the most, is that he's very quick and athletic for someone his size. I feel like in his highlights, he's moving a lot quicker than Mido or Cook do.
I mean, even Jason, I remember from last year. I mean, he was kind of similar in that way, where he was a bigger guy. I think he's 6'9". Also, he kind of moved up the court that quickly, as well. He was kind of, even though he was the big man, I guess, on his college, on his high school team, he still kind of outran guards.
Yeah, and with Mido and Cook, it's a little more slower. Their post moves or different things like that, getting to the basket. But with Makai Willis, his highlights. Very fast and very athletic for someone his size. You almost watch the highlights and don't even really believe that he's 6 foot nine the way he plays.
Because it's, it's so quick.
But one thing to note, what you just said to me before, and I actually had written down since last night, is that when you watch his highlights, one thing that's very clear is he's always the biggest guy on the court by far in a lot of his high school highlights. You just said that, and I saw it last night, which isn't, I mean, you can't blame him for that, right? It's not like,
you can't choose who you play.
Yeah, it's not his fault, but just looking at things from like an outside, unbiased perspective, I guess, you got to assume like, or you got to ask yourself, what will he play like when he's playing against guys his size? Not just guys his size, but seasoned guys his size.
I mean, Jason is kind of a tale of this from last year when we kind of looked at his highlights, similar to Mekhi Willis, where it's like, this guy runs the court, like, finishes the rim so often. And, like, I guess Jason kind of had to adjust to the college game. I think the same way Mekhi Willis will have to at some point kind of adjust his game to fit how they play in the MAC or at Fairfield in general.
Yeah, and, you know, he's going to be going up against guys like Ndefo
Nelly Junior Joseph.
Guys like that, you know, big guys in the MAC who not only are his size, but
the height on him,
have the experience too. So we're going to have to see how he translates to college. I think the talent is there, but again, like, how is it going to go up against established guys?
The one thing I do think is, I don't know if you have this written down, the defense, I think there's like a common theme with all of these recruits is that, like, I think JR, obviously, he's told us that he loves the defense end of the ball, but all these guys have just great defensive instincts, it seems like. Like, Willis had, I mean, I'm looking at his huddle, it was 5-block game, 2 steals. Like, his blocks are just, like, very, very entertaining blocks. Like, he does well in the paint.
Yeah.
For a 6'9" guy, I mean.
Yeah, and defending's always going to be one of the top priorities for Jae Young, so that's not very surprising. Also, my one last thing on Mekhi Willis that I had wrote down, that I did write down, was that he did show a bit of an outside shot in his highlights. Not a 3-point shot, but, you know, mid-range, whether it be, you know, in the post or even, like, I saw one of his highlights comes around top of the foul line. He shows a little bit of an outside shot, which is, again, we saw, what was it, Michael Rogan, who just got recruited, Mekhi Willis, who's here now, Chrysler. You start seeing that Jae Young's valuing bigger guys who can also space the floor a little bit by shooting outside. So take a look at his highlights. He shows athleticism, getting to the rim, plays fast. I think the biggest takeaway for me is that he plays fast for a guy his size. A little bit of an outside shot. So that's the positives, and then the big question mark will be how can it translate, because a lot of his highlights were against smaller guys, so it's like dunking on smaller guys or
blocking smaller guys at the rim.
Blocking smaller guys at the rim, or just even going up against smaller guys, driving to the rim.
Rebounding in general.
Yeah, so
I hope he can play alongside, like, if he doesn't get a redshirt, I hope he can play alongside a Mido or Cook instead of playing like the five by himself. I hope they kind of put him into a more of a forward role than center. So I think that hindered Jason's kind of ability last year, was playing like a small ball five against like all these like ginormous dudes.
Yeah, and here's the interesting thing. It's like I believe online he's listed as a power forward on some of those recruiting things.
On Huddle it says power forward.
Yeah, on his Huddle, which he creates, so obviously he put that. So maybe they will, and that would be a pretty interesting spot for him to play if they did have him in there, especially with his athleticism. But then at the same time, you look at it, and it's like, I don't know, he's like the biggest guy on the team. So
yeah, but
would you want to shift him to center to cover some of those big, strong guys that maybe could bully like Mido or someone?
That's
a little
more of
bit
like
more.
An in-game adjustment. It's like if Mido or Cook are struggling in the moment, you could try it, but I think for his own chance to prosper, I think offensively especially and rebounding wise, it would help a lot if he played the four. So like Jason, like, I mean, that was a necessity when he was playing the five in the play in the tournament, but you would tell like he was not comfortable in that situation against those bigger opponents.
Yeah, that was definitely out of position. Jason is only 6'6", though, so it's so
maybe
3-inch difference.
Yeah, maybe he has the height. But I feel like as a freshman, if he's listing himself as a power forward, he plays power forward in high school. It's like, I don't know.
And the speed matches more of a power forward.
Speed matches up more, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. Like you mentioned, maybe he redshirts. If he's a power forward, maybe he, you know, because it's like.
It's a logjam.
Who is he competing with? He's competing with Allen, with Sheff.
With
right. Chrysler's obviously going to be like probably the starter.
Cook and Mido and Jason.
Yeah. I think Chrysler's more of the established starter, but then like.
For sure to start the year.
The more like competing for that second spot maybe with Sheff or Allen.
That first or second big off the bench.
Yeah.
Or second big off the bench if you. Because Mido and Cook aren't going to start together.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, maybe he's doing really well in practice. We don't know. Maybe he will redshirt. So I think he definitely has a lot of upside, though, going forward. And I'm excited to see him play in the future with the next guy we're going to talk about. So let's move on. Christian Sivas, 6'1".
Little guard.
180-pound guard out of Long Valley, New Jersey. So we got a New Jersey guy. He averaged 14.2 points per game and 8.8 assists per game through his first three seasons. He was a New Jersey Group 3 All-Player Team member, the NJAC Player of the Year, with over 400 assists in his final two seasons. He is a two-time county champion, led his team to 26 wins in back-to-back years, 14-1 record in 2021, a 1,000-point scorer, And listen to this. He tallied 17 assists in one game last season.
And it looks
in
like,
one game.
And it looks like a triple-double at some point.
He did have a triple-double as well. I think it was against
Morristown
Beard School, which is, I think it's a Catholic school or a private school.
That's by us, right? In Morristown.
That's by Florham Park, I think. Yeah, so. Yeah, so just let that sink in for a second, right? A lot to take in there, but a very accomplished high school career. From Christian Sivas, and adding what we need, right? Because
I mean, look, if you think about the players graduating, Caleb, him coming in to replace kind of Caleb.
That's what I was,
not directly, but indirectly, it's kind of perfect.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Kind of picking up what we need when Caleb leaves. This is why, if I had to pick a guy that would most likely redshirt this year, it would probably be him.
It's him. Sit behind, because Caleb's going to play 40 minutes a night almost every night.
Caleb doesn't really come out much, right? And it's the same position, similar player who, you know, 6'180", maybe he could put a little more weight on, give him a year, learn the system, practice.
I mean, Jay Young's talked about how like much of a gamer Caleb is in practice, and like have Sivas and Caleb go back and forth and practice for a year. That would be,
and have Sivas shadow him and learn, you know, learn from him for a year.
I mean,
my points about him, though, right? Not totally saying he's going to redshirt this year because he is very talented. One of the things I noticed is that he finishes at the rim, draws fouls a lot in his highlight tape, and he really goes at players. He has that like, and I even think we said this back when he committed, but he has like that Russell Westbrook kind of
he's a bulldog
mentality where he just comes down the court and just goes like at the defense.
We like to use our NBA comparisons because kind of like the stuff we know. Even though it's high praise, but like a John Morant, kind of he can jump over he has no fear to like jump over anybody. Like he could go at somebody and like finish over anyone basically.
Yeah,
or he has that mindset.
Yeah, we're not like comparing
we're
them skill wise,
just
but
like
just player style wise, you know,
people you
or mindset wise,
put in your head. Thinking about him.
And then aside from getting to the rim, drawing fouls, he also has a lot of great assists in his highlight tape, which shouldn't come as a surprise hearing about, you know, 400 assists in two seasons, 17 in a single game. But a lot of them are really, like, nice assists where you're watching the tape and you're even thinking, I didn't even see that pass.
He passes people open. It's not like he's passing the wide open guys. He's finding guys across the court. He's looking at guys like where he can't even see the guys out of the back of his head.
One of the things we've, you know, last year we kind of talked about was Caleb kind of struggled with getting to the rim and scoring because of his height sometimes, right? He would get blocked a lot or, you know, didn't finish at the rim. But with Sivas, it seems more like he does well getting to the rim scoring and also can provide that, you know, kick out pass that
could
come along with it.
Granted, I feel like Sivas kind of has that more natural athleticism compared to Caleb. Like Caleb's one of the probably the smartest player on the team. All that great basketball IQ, but it seems like Sivas kind of has that natural athleticism that kind of, even though he is shorter, will help him either be able to draw fouls or finish at the rim, even though he's shorter.
Yeah, and he's got 3 inches on Caleb, and maybe if, you know, he has that more raw talent, but maybe, we don't know, but maybe if he lacks the IQ, he can learn it from Caleb. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, so, I mean, knowledge of the game can be taught. You can be taught, if you have good coaching, good players around you, you can be taught. You can't teach someone to jump higher.
Yeah. So, I really liked watching his film. I think he looks like a very exciting player prospect for the future.
He's probably my most exciting recruit of this season. I mean, you still have to look at one more, but
yeah, so
I really enjoyed watching his highlights.
Really just like the fact that he could push the tempo, which is something that me and you personally want. Mm-hmm. Jae Young kind of talked about it a little bit. And then what I was saying before is that I feel like him and Mekhi Willis can form a good connection throughout their time here. Maybe not this season, but, you know, by the time they're juniors or seniors, where, you know, he's driving in, finds Mekhi Willis, maybe some alley-oops, we'll see.
Like, that pick-and-roll combo could be very good if they have
that connection, chemistry,
where they know where they can get the ball. Like, Sivas knows where he can put the ball, where Willis can get it, that kind of stuff. Stuff that comes with time and time again of running that.
Yeah, so that's, like, a connection to keep your eye on down the road. Probably not this season, but, you know,
2023.
2-3 years from now. Could be a very good connection.
I mean, these guys are going to have to play soon with the timeline of, like, the players that we have. Like, 2023, there will have to be a lot of, like, younger guys in the rotation. There's a ton of seniors.
This year, maybe not as much, and then next year, guys are going to have to step up.
Next year, yeah. Because this year, you have basically the same team as last year. You don't have anyone leaving, really. But, like, after that, you lose, what you mentioned before, you lose Taj, Cruz, Wojcik.
Caleb, Chef.
That's our starting guard back. Those are our guards. That's like literally the three guards we play the whole game.
Yeah, yeah. Which is a little scary, but
it's also exciting.
Yeah, and it's also that's also going to be interesting to see how Jae Young manages this year. Then is he going to allow some of those guys to play? I mean,
you can't just throw him into the fire with no.
Yeah, is he going to allow some of those guys to get experience, or is he going to redshirt them? You know, like what's going to be. What is he going to be? What is he going to do?
Because there's no, like, really, like, current. Outside of Jalen. Like, Jalen's the only one that will still be there in 2023, really. So, like, it's interesting if he ends up becoming, like, that de facto point guard, or I guess shooting guard. I mean, it's Sivas kind of lists himself as both. So it'll be interesting to see if, like, who takes the lead ball handler role. You have to imagine Sivas.
I could see Sivas being more of the
ball handler
and Jalen being more of the shooting
Jalen's
guard.
Because Jalen's such a good spot-up shooter.
Yeah.
It'd be tough to take that out away from him.
And it's interesting because, like you said, there's so many guards, right? So it's like Caleb, Jalen, Wojcik, Taj is like.
Taj plays the two either way.
Cruz could be either way, too. It's talking like 3 to 5 guys. So there really isn't room for Sivas.
Like, Sivas would be a prime redshirt.
Yeah.
I know he's very talented, but, like, just in terms of, like.
Just makes the most sense.
Yeah, for his sake.
Save this year, and then on the back end, get another year because he's going to
be a shame in
3 years, 4 years. So
it'd be a shame if he didn't redshirt this year, and when he's a senior, and he's like he's a star player, say he ends up booming and becomes like amazing, he loses that year on the end because he had to play 2 minutes a game as a freshman.
Yeah, that is why my last point for him was that he's most likely to redshirt out of these three, just because of the people in front of him have established minutes.
Yeah, if you're a center,
40 minutes a game almost for Caleb.
If you're a center or a point guard coming to Fairfield and from last year or this year, you're most likely not getting minutes until 2023 just because of the
and for center game. Wise.
That's what I'm saying, center.
Probably not even beyond that cuz I mean you got Mido, you got Cook.
Yes, yeah.
It's and they're young, they're not seniors, so.
That's true. But you could if you're a freshman coming in when Mido's a senior, you're going to point.
But this year,
you
point guard and center minutes probably won't be.
You basically know what you're getting from those two positions.
Yes.
It's the in between, which brings us to our next guy. It's that 2, 3, and 4 that's kind of up for grabs.
Yeah, I like the transition. Smooth transition going into the last guy. Our last freshman, TJ Long, 6'4", 190 pounds, out of Rockville Center, New York. He also, I believe, reclassed last year and played at Canterbury School, which I believe is in Connecticut. And he was one of Long Island in high school. He's one of Long Island's leading scorers his senior year. He once scored 48 points in a single game during his prep school days against a national powerhouse. And he averaged 18.4 points per game, 6 rebounds, shooting 48.5%, 42% from 3, 84.6% from the free throw line. So that's his kind of overview of TJ Long. This was a guy I wasn't too sure about when, you know, when they first recruited him. He looked a little slow. There was like a highlight tape of him playing some like random gym, and he looked like a little slow. And I think people even tweeted about that, or maybe even the message boards were saying that he looks a little slow. But I watched his highlights last night, maybe his huddle somewhere, his highlights, and I really, really liked this guy after last night. Watching his highlights,
he can definitely fill a role. Like, if you can shoot like he can, I mean, what is it? 48% from three shot, 42% from three, 48% from the floor, with an 85% field goal or free throw percentage. If you can shoot like that, you can find a role, especially on this team.
Yeah, so he has a very smooth shot, right? He shoots
lefty
from all parts of the court. And I'm gonna hit you with a player comparison that hit me.
Wait, can I guess it?
Yeah.
Is it an NBA player?
Yeah.
Is it Joe Ingles?
No.
I was thinking it's a lefty.
No, I just feel like his shot, right? Not the way he plays. Anything really besides his shot form. If you watch his shot form, for some reason, reminds me of LaMelo Ball.
I could see that. It's like
the shot form. That quick release.
He also starts the ball very low.
And then he
starts to like kind of at his neck, chest area.
Yeah. And it's like that quick release. I don't know. If you watch like LaMelo Ball shoot and you watch TJ Long shoot, LaMelo doesn't jump as much when he shoots. TJ uses his legs more, but the arms look very similar.
I could see that. I was just thinking of lefties because he's a lefty. I mean,
Joe Ingles, not a bad player.
Is Joe Ingles with hair? I mean, Joe Ingles is great. I love Joe Ingles.
Solid role player.
I mean, if he can shoot the ball like he does, and I'm watching his 11-3 game against Putnam or whatever. Putnam Science Academy or whatever. If he can shoot the ball, he could be, I'm not saying he will be, but he could be a negative rebounding, negative defensively. But if he can shoot the ball and shoot it consistently, he will find minutes from freshman year till he leaves. He's probably the least likely person to redshirt, I think. Of all of them.
Yeah. Last night, if you asked me 2 days ago, I'd say he's probably the most likely because I wasn't educated on him as much. If you ask me today, he's got to be up there with the least likely, either him or Willis, because shooting is something we need badly.
I mean, yeah.
And like you said, the position that he can fill would be more open positions on the court.
6'4", which is like right. He's not like too tall where he's a Chrysler and he's like slow and can't really run with forwards, like smaller forwards. But he's not tiny like a Sevius where he won't be able to get minutes behind like a Caleb or something.
Yeah, and shot, I mean, we always ask, can his game translate to college? And obviously college is always much faster, so we don't know how guys can translate. But for the most part, shooting never really gets phased by different levels.
I mean, if you can shoot. They get, like, Fairfield creates open shots a lot. It's just their matter of be able to hit those open shots. Like, it's not from like a matter, like, he won't be taking threes with hands in his face that often, I don't think.
Yeah, and one of the things too is that in his highlights he shows promise that he can create his own shot. So like, remember Landon Taliaferro, he kind of struggled with creating his own shot.
He wasn't shooting the ball.
Yeah, he was lights out when he was wide open or even like running around off a screen, but creating his own shot he struggled with. TJ Long actually shows promise of being able to create his own shot, and that quick release he has helps him a lot.
I mean, yeah, he was making some contested threes in that highlight, and
yeah,
it shows he has some type of dribbling prowess. Like, he can kind of size somebody up and just, like, if someone's sagging off, he can size someone up and create a shot.
Yeah, and I also feel like the quick release helps him. I feel like Landon kind of had a slower release.
Well, he started like very low. He got very deep in his stance.
Yeah, and he kind of like sat down.
He arched his back. He got like really low.
So, I really like the quick release. I like his shot. Reminds me of LaMelo Ball, kind of. Not the way he plays, but just the form. And he also scores mid-range, scores floaters, puts the ball in the rim from multiple ways. He can drive. His highlight tape is just very impressive to me. I really got to say that it really impressed me more than I thought it would. So that was a very positive thing. He even, you know, has the ability to drive to the rim, getting fouled. Obviously, you see his free throw percentage, 84.6%. So those are the positives. Again, the negatives, who knows how his game will transfer to college.
Skinnier. Or on the skinny side. You don't know how much strength he'll bring, like, in terms of rebounding and stuff.
Yeah, that's one thing that comes with college program, right?
Yeah.
So you got to assume over his time here, he will get better at that. But for right now, we don't know this season how that'll translate. So my kind of final take on him was that he's potentially a work in progress, but he has a sweet shot, and we really need shooters. So who knows if he'll see time this year. And if you think about, like, where would you play him? Three?
Three, I mean, with I would play him at a three with, if we're, like, including, like, a starting lineup with, like, Chrysler and a big, and then, like, a Caleb and a Taj. Or, I mean, if you're talking about bench, like, a Jalen and a Jalen and a Caleb and
or like
a
Cruz.
Chef and a Mido. Like, that kind of, like, if we're talking about a bench lineup, mm-hmm. most likely, it'd be, like, Jalen, Caleb, TJ.
Cruz, maybe.
Cruz at the four, or, like, Cruz or Chef at the four, and then Mido at the five, or Cook at the five.
Because if you think about who are the guys in front of him right now,
I mean, would it be, put it Allen
be Cruz? I think Cruz
can play anywhere. That's, like, the thing. It's, like, you could play him next to Cruz.
Yeah, or Cruz could just play in his spot,
or
too.
Or Cruz could play in his spot. I mean, if he...
Same with Todd.
I mean, if he fulfills a role, it's not impossible to move someone off his spot to somewhere else, or Cruz off his spot.
Yeah, and where Cruz brings the more fast pace, a little more strong, probably, you know, more athletic, whereas TJ could probably bring better shooting.
Yeah.
So it's, like, different, you know, you got to weigh it out. But I don't know. I'm excited to see how his game translates, because we always need shooters. And
shooting wins.
Shooting, and shooting also impresses the fans. It impresses us.
Score a lot more.
We talk about Jalen hitting that three immediately last year against Providence, and we were just sold right away. Didn't have to see anything else. Wojcik, too. Sold right away.
Well, we were right on both of them. Don't act like they hit one.
Yeah. Jalen's a little more you got to see because of the injury.
But
he didn't really get a full
in,
season.
What was it, seven games, that he's legit.
Yeah, so shooting sells the crowd. It sells us. It sells you guys. It sells the, you know, sells
the
tickets.
TV, the TV sponsors.
Sells the Twitter you know,
followers.
The people, whatever, the people who tweet out the highlights.
And, I mean, they should also, Fair Basketball should be excited considering how Fairfield Baseball kind of went from, like, the same level of, like, obscurity. I don't know if that's the word to use, but, like, and they, you have a good year in your still. If even if it's in your conference, you have a good year, you will get attention.
National recognition.
Yeah.
Not to say Fairfield
baseball
was bad.
Not to say they will, but it gives them kind of a. I feel like seeing the baseball team what they did with the, seeing the baseball team do what they did last year, and even what Iona did in basketball this past year, playing close with, like, going
Alabama.
To the tournament, playing close. Like, basically, it's not impossible to build on your reputation.
Yeah.
Even in the span of 1 year.
And not that Fairfield baseball was bad. They were just a good MAC team. And now they're a national
name. They're nationally
name.
Known. Yeah.
Even if they don't have that year again this year, people will still always remember.
Yeah.
When the name Fairfield comes
like
up,
how,
they'll
like,
probably think, oh, that baseball, you know, that baseball run they had.
Florida Gulf Coast and...
Yeah, Florida, like
and
Florida Gulf
State.
Coast could have a pretty good baseball team, but anytime you hear that name, you'll always think about that basketball run they had. They could have a pretty good soccer team, but you'll never think about that because you'll think about... that run, and that's kind of what the baseball team did here, but the basketball team could definitely do that. The Convocation Center is going up pretty fast, actually.
Yeah, especially when you start seeing them play in some nice stadium. It's like a good team, nice stadium, playing against Ricky Pitino.
Yeah. You get to come.
Could attract some eyes.
Come boo them. You get to come scream at them and, you know, say some things. Get things off your mind. And, but looking at these three guys, we kind of talked about it already, but just to kind of wrap it up, who's your, like, what's your power rankings going into the season of the three?
It's, like, for future potential or current potential? Like current ability, I think, or future potential.
Should we just summarize kind of so like...
So it's like overall, I'll say Sivas 1.
This is for future then?
This is for future, yeah. Future, I'll say Sivas 1, Willis 2, Long 3. But for current ability, I'll probably say Sivas 1, Long 2, Willis 3. Because I think Willis is like very raw. Has the athleticism, but is raw. But I feel like Sivas and Long have kind of their knowledge of what they can and can't do on the court kind of woven out already. Or
it's actually
carved out.
It's actually it's difficult.
It's difficult because it's not even like it's like a slight to Willis. Like they're all three very good prospects.
Yeah, and
it's not
they
like we're not slighting anyone by doing.
They all fill different needs, which is interesting.
Yeah, which is good. I mean, it shows that
it's a good recruiting.
They're recruiting
job.
With a plan in mind. It's not just recruiting.
It's not like they got
players.
Two centers. And, yeah, you know what I mean, like
two centers and a 6'5" shooting guard.
No. So for me, it's hard. I would say for the future, I mean, it's tough because you don't even know, like, guys behind, like, for example, what is it?
Maddie Curtis,
right?
You don't know how they're going to
look.
If
he comes in and he's a star point guard.
Then you can't really have Sivas play.
You know, you don't really know, but for me, I think Willis or Sivas have the most long-term potential. Because Willis has the body for it, and he has the talent that you see, and he just really needs to be taught and learn how to play against the higher competition and really just refine his skills. Sivas, again, has the talent. He's a little bit on the shorter side, which could always hurt, but I think he does have a lot of potential. Long is the most questionable for me just because he's going to need to get in better shape, you can't bank on that ever. He's going to need to play quicker. He's going to have to like change his game a little bit.
But if he can get to those spots, like those 3-point spots, kind of like Chrysler. Like Chrysler isn't the fast guy, but he's able to find those open spots for three. Like he kind of just like.
But for me, that's just more of an if than.
And when.
Yeah, it's more
like Sivas and Willis are more like when it's going to happen. Tion's like if it happens,
yeah. But then on the flip side, it's like he could have a ton of potential. He could like boom because if he does get in good shape and he does get a little quicker and he still has that shot, because like we said, the shot's not going to go anywhere, then he could be the best out of the three.
He'll be tough to guard in the MAC for sure. Oh my God. Especially if in the future, if you have guys like Mido and Jalen and those guys playing, and you have to worry about also this guy, like TJ Long shooting. That's like three or four like legit scores on the court at once.
Yeah, and it's incredible to just sit here and think about like where it's come from, like when we were freshmen or even sophomores, where
Sangor Peterson and Easy. But we love Easy. We love Easy.
We love Easy. We were just talking about Easy.
Yeah, we were like, if he was back,
if he stayed, we would have maybe won the MAC last year.
He's a beast.
If he stayed for his sixth year, but no, like you just said, it was like. We were like, it's kind of funny to think we had like Easy, no, like Methnani
and Sangor Peterson playing at the same time.
Were like our like leaders. We had like Idis, who was okay, but he didn't really score at all.
He wouldn't shoot the ball.
He didn't. He was like kind of like almost afraid to shoot. Yeah. It was like, I don't know. It was just
Landon, who was
completely
like,
different.
Landon is like the ceiling for TJ Long.
You think so?
I think like if he can become like obviously Landon's like one of the best shooters in Fairfield history, but like
yeah, but
that kind of ability to like
at the same time, I think he could be a more complete player if he and like I don't want to get ahead of myself because like obviously Landon had like
put
a good
respect
career
on his name.
Yeah, you gotta respect what he did, but Landon didn't have as good of a ball handling skill set where he could. You know, drive in, like we said, create his own shot. He was kind of more of like just a spot up kind of guy.
He did that perfectly. Like
he did his job well, but there was also nights where he didn't score very much
as
well.
That's true. It was high volatility. It was either he scored zero or he scored 20. It wasn't
he dropped, what did he drop, like 13 threes or whatever against
Texas
A&M. But then there was also nights where he didn't score against like MAC teams. And so consistency
your best, well, it's great,
was an issue for
to
sure.
To be fair, that was when like Landon was like Fairfield's best player, so it really killed them. If TJ Long has those kind of spurts where like he can either score 0 or score 20, but off the bench, it could be like, I mean, it's still, you don't want that, but like,
yeah.
It could just become like, if he gets hot, you automatically win, versus like if he's not there, it'd just be a battle, but you'd still win the game.
And you're right about, you are right about, what was I going to say? You're right about the fact that Landon was playing with guys that were not as good at helping him do better.
Yeah, I mean,
they could double team him, or they could just keep him locked down and know that they're going to win the game if they locked him down.
Yeah.
So it's a completely different dynamic, but I just think that basically on TJ Long, I think if he really works hard, I think he does have a high ceiling, but I think Willis and Sivas are the more sure things going into the
They also have just more carved out. Like, you kind of know where they'll play and how they'll help the team. Like, TJ Long could be anything.
Yeah.
Like Sivas, you know, will be like the ball handling point guard at some point, or you hope so. Will pass the ball a lot. Will also be an athletic big that will rim run kind of. TJ Long could be like a 3-point specialist or like a legit 3-level scorer.
Yeah. So, anything else to add?
I'm excited. That show made me even more excited.
Yeah, no, I think that was a solid show. It wasn't too long, but it was just very effective. We had we got familiar with the 3 freshmen, and hopefully all of you listening did as well. I know some of you listening probably already did your research, but hopefully we can give you a little refresher.
They probably knew them as like sophomores.
Yeah, hopefully we gave you a little refresher, and hopefully we got you excited for this upcoming season as we are. So that's it for the show today. We will be back next Wednesday at 2 p.m. Maybe an interview, maybe something else.
Something.
We got to figure it out.
Something out.
But yeah, less than a month till Fairfield basketball, so we hope you're all excited. Make sure you come to Fairfield Soccer tonight, 7 p.m. Watch Matt Turner play. If you're not going to come to the game, watch him play at 7. And, yeah, we'll be back next week with more Fairfield Sports Talk on Red Sea Radio on WVUF 88.5 FM. Until then, as always, go Stags.